Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast. With me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
We're back! We're back again. We fucked up. We were on our normal schedule, but somehow neglected making episodes.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
I really thought I could just knock one out, but I was helping our dear friend of the show, Amy Ho, move a little
bit. I was working
on my bullshit for teaching, and I was working on this fucking flag, and life just got away from us. And but we do want to thank, before we start the show, we want to thank our one and only donor to the show, Jim Prosser.
Hey, Jim.
Every month I'm like, I'm going to quit making this podcast. And then I get that PayPal notification that we got our donation from Jim Prosser. And I'm like, I guess I just have to keep on trucking. I also have to make a correction. In the last episode, I said that Norwich is on the western side of the UK. It is on the eastern side. In reality, the eastern side. Nobody wrote in or cared or acknowledged that at all. But I felt like I was getting an energy
from the world,
from the listener. Okay, Maysoon, here's the deal. If you need to remember something, like for example, for us, when we're using our recorder and we're starting a new episode, we always need to make a new project.
Right.
That's what it's called in the recorder. So our mnemonic for that is new episode, new project. That's correct. And I find that if you're trying to remember something, if you have it in that kind, almost you have a melody.
Yeah, okay.
For it. I find it also works if you're trying to make an unusual order from Taco Bell.
What the hell?
So, for example, I'll get a cheesy gordita crunch. Oh. Now, normally that comes with beef, but I'm vegetarian.
Right.
So, I will say, could I have a cheesy gordita crunch, but instead of meat, could I get beans on that?
Mm-hmm.
And I always say it in that way, in that exact same tone and pitch and whatever.
Rhythm.
And every time
they
get the correct
thing.
It has never gone wrong.
Do you go to the same Taco Bell?
Nope. All over the country, all over the world.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
This is my gift to you, listener, if you're a vegetarian.
Kate and I saw Morgan Basicus at Caddis last week. Kate and I and many other people.
It was jam-packed full of people.
Morgan is a performance artist and comedian, and they were amazing.
So good.
In all ways, like, just stunning.
In every way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The music was phenomenal.
The music.
The comedy was hilarious.
There were moments where they were walking around. They were wearing a t-shirt that was
a men's dress shirt. I think it was referencing Elaine Stritch.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Because she did a big one-woman show toward the end of her life where she wore that. She wore
that
a men's dress shirt.
As a dress.
And then I think underpants.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But then she also had high heels.
Was Morgan wearing shoes?
I don't remember. I couldn't see because I was we were both a little farther back.
They might have been barefoot, but I'm not totally sure.
Me either. Good, but we're really getting into this fine detail.
They were also wearing the most striking shade of turquoise
eyeshadow.
It was fantastic. And they were just, I felt like a little bit heart-wrenching, to be honest.
I feel it got me funny and just crushing. It got me on every level.
Yeah.
I was entertained.
Yes.
I was engaged politically.
Yes.
I was engaged spiritually and cosmically.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I was operating every center, every synapse, every chakra,
mm-hmm.
everything.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was a piano, an upright piano in the room,
mm-hmm.
and there was some work where Morgan was sort of standing up and talking into a mic, and then a lot of the pieces were actually at the piano where they were playing music along with sort of singing songs that were like they were sourcing information or sourcing from the audience. Yeah. So like
it was like improvisational.
Yeah, totally. What were some questions that Morgan would ask the audience?
Well, it kind of started out with like I forget what order it was. What are some things you tried? What are some things that you tried? What are some things you want to get rid of?
Yep.
All the songs mainly were from their album called More Protest Songs.
But
then they kind of reimagined them for this context. Okay. Because I think Jordan Stein or whoever invited Morgan to come.
I feel like Jordan must have, based on Lindsay.
Asked them to maybe do something about Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, okay.
And because it's like time.
Yeah.
And so they were talking about like the new year and letting go of things and kind of then making the re-enlivening the songs for that context.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of audience participation. Now, this is where I feel like the only part of the show that I would have improved.
Okay.
Was the damn audience. I felt like people, I feel like an art audience is kind of passive. And that if it was in an,
I think someone else, Astria, was saying the same thing afterwards. Yeah. The audience was a little bit.
That you don't.
Dull, let's say.
Yeah. If it was like, if you had that exact same performance at like an improv theater, people would have been raucous. Whoa, octopus! You'd have a lot more feedback.
Yeah, there was some like pulling teeth moments a little bit.
Yeah.
But.
And then I shouted out like three times and I was like, oh, I hit my, I don't want to be the.
The person who's always shouting out.
Yeah. Okay. I also found out later, because now I'm obsessed with Morgan Basicus did a deep dive.
Oh, cool.
And found out they are also a working therapist.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You want to go see them, don't you?
Anyhow, point is.
I also just wanted to say.
Well, but wait, I didn't get to my favorite part.
Go ahead.
So they were asking a couple of questions like, oh, who knows what's the difference between secure and like insecure attachment?
Oh, so hysterical.
And there was a person in the audience. God bless the person in the audience for chiming in, which is what I feel like a lot of people were afraid to do. But they gave the most intense and, like, you know, elaborate explanation of
that. I had never heard of it before. I was like, I don't know what we're talking about. Let's hear about it.
That was wild.
I learned some new things.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the difference between what insecure and secure attachments are.
Well, people that are securely attached have healthier relationships. Basically, I think that's the main thing.
Yeah.
It's like people whose parents weren't abusive, neglectful, etc.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they aren't like codependent and like either, you know, I mean, that's how I'm not an expert, obviously, but that's what I understand.
There was another phrase that came up, like, was it called romance language?
Love language.
Which I was like,
you never heard of love
in
languages?
In my mind, I was like, are we talking about French, Italian, Spanish, Latin? Like, what are we talking about?
Romance languages?
Yeah. I was so glad I didn't say anything because I was like, clearly I am way the fuck off base in this room. It's okay. Whatever.
Love languages, that's so funny to me, Maysoon. I think all this is because you're not very on the internet that much. Okay, Maysoon. So it's the five love languages,
not romance languages, people.
The Five Love Languages, The Secret to Love That Lasts by Gary Chapman is a book. And then it just caught fire where people were like spreading it
around. Boy, I did not get that one.
So these are the five love languages. Words of affirmation. Okay. It's how people express their love and maybe how they wish to be loved. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So words of affirmation, acts of service. That's anything you do to ease your partner's burden of responsibility. So like, oh, you have to work late or something. I'll do the dishes and do X, Y, and Z.
I vacuumed the whole house yesterday for Jimbo.
There you go. Okay. So maybe that's one of your love languages. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also,
vacuuming.
Like, also, receiving gifts is a love language, like giving and receiving gifts. Quality time, giving each other your undivided attention. And then five, physical touch.
Yep.
Whether that be hand-holding, kissing, pats on the back, or hugs. What about, like, fucking?
Or, like, full-on sex.
Yeah, like, what?
Come on. Get with it.
Well, maybe this is just more
the
like the
touch.
Day-to-day base.
The ultimate touch.
Okay, so anyhow. So those are the love languages. So that came up also. That was very funny to me. I felt like their voice is, I just Morgan, feel like they could be a musician, yeah. just a straight musician.
Well, but I like that they're not actually.
No,
like
I'm that glad they're that, yeah, like, no, I wouldn't change it. But I'm just saying they're good
incredible
enough
talent.
That they could get by just on that.
Mm-hmm. So it was very like, you know, I can't remember that like style of piano playing, but I don't know.
Is that a style?
Well, the way Morgan was playing is, if you were a musician, you'd be like, oh, it's the style.
Everybody get the album. I'll put it at the links in the underworld. But anyhow, and it's a lot of repetition because I think they are kind of
It's actually really like show business, actually. Like a show business style of playing. Yeah.
Like show tunes?
Kind of. I don't know. There's a little bit of call and response involved, and it's very like heavy rhythmic, like a very heavy rhythm, which is a lot of piano, but this particular style.
We tried speaking bad about you. We tried to buy you out of town. We tried to write strongly worded letters, but none of that worked. You're still here, you're still here. So we tried bowls of water at your toes. Salty bowls of water at your toes. We're going to suck that devil out of you. Not you, you're fine. We're going to make you cry, cry, cry. Yeah, you. Oh, we're going to disappear you. Just you wait.
And they were just great. They were clearly a great musician, like a great piano player, and a beautiful singer. You know, there was one song that Morgan did early on that was sort of like, oh, they're just fucking around. You know, not fucking around. I don't mean to downplay that, but where I feel like their voice didn't come out as like powerfully. And then like there was another song I was like, oh wait, hold on a second here. We're dealing with a very serious musician.
Yeah.
Actually.
Most of the songs were from this album called More Protest Songs. Okay. And I think they are meant to be songs sung in a protest.
Okay.
And so then when they say like, take them or leave them, it's like take them out into the street and sing these.
Yeah.
And there's some also on the album that they didn't perform when we saw the show that really I think you could sing out in the street. There's one about bees and like becoming a bee.
Oh, and like stinging and collecting all at the same time.
Yeah. I'm going to just play chunks.
Yeah, you should.
Come with me. We're ready to fly.
Ready to fly.
We're ready to serve.
Ready to serve.
We're ready to make.
We're ready to make.
We're ready to abolish.
Ready to abolish.
We're ready to tear it down.
We're ready to tear it down.
We're ready to protect and defend.
We're ready to
fuck some shit up. Let's go, let's go. One, two, three, four. We're ready to fly. We're ready to serve our queen. We're ready to make some honey.
Okay, so anyhow, final score of that night of performance.
10.
12 out of 10.
Yeah.
At least. I thank God for Lindsay White telling me to go to that because it was on a Wednesday and that's not
an easy
nighttime
day. Is that like your San Jose day?
Nighttime's not the right time for me on Wednesday. So I was, it was, you know, good, good that she encouraged me because now I will be a lifelong devoted fan.
I have to say that kind of work is so fucking intense. It's like this one person who, you know, you're in a room that's like fully lit, basically.
Yep.
That's very small.
People
and intimate.
Are not drunk.
People are sitting People are sitting, you know, like your front row is like 2.5 feet away from your naked leg. You know what I mean? It's just like it's very raw and intimate. And it just makes me think about your comment about how the audience wasn't.
I think that the audience was
the audience
stoked.
Was. Yes,
like,
yes, yes.
I think they were paying attention. They were like being polite. They were
being
they
too
were happy.
Polite.
They were enjoying it, you know, and clapped and stuff. But I just think it's hard to get life out of an art audience.
I just think they need to be given permission.
I think they need to be given poppers.
Maybe poppers the pony.
Shout out to Sophia Clear, who gives the audience poppers.
Or what if it happened in another venue, you know, like what if it happened at the Stud or at like a, like you were saying, like a underground comic venue.
Is the art scene here sad? Are people sad? Because I was thinking this too.
Gosh.
When the last time Dynasty Handbag was here, Dynasty Handbag, who is dear best friends with Morgan Basicus.
Oh, really? Oh, great.
I watched a ton of clips. It was so cute. Aww. Okay, so anyhow, when Dynasty Handbag was here the last time to do a performance at the lab, I felt that the audience there also was pretty subdued.
Oh.
Now, I will say the opener for Dynasty Handbag was Cliff Hengst, and who is incredible and
that
rousing.
Was probably sad, though.
But, yeah, their performance was all about, like, his dear loved ones who had passed away in, like, the last year. So I think that might have set a tone. But beautiful. His work was beautiful, but that might have set a tone. But I wonder, too, what is it about? What is it about the audience?
I mean, I think the lab is, I think venues have a specific character.
Yeah.
I think the lab is definitely way more raucous and whatever, punk maybe.
Yeah.
To some degree than like Caddis, which feels very tight to me. Yeah. Very specific, you know? And I often feel like I don't belong in that space. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't care. I'm just going to go anyhow. But
yeah,
for whatever reason, that's a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if Morgan was at the lab, if that would have been a different thing.
The lab, please get them back here.
I know.
I would go every night.
Kate and Katie were like literally hooting and hollering the whole night. It was really awesome.
We did a standing O at the end.
You did two standing ovations because we got a little encore performance, which is unusual, but awesome.
Loved it.
I kind of wanted
to... I want to cry.
Did you want to meet them at all? You didn't. Did you have a chance to say hi? You guys ran away in 3 seconds after it was over.
Yeah, I had to go straight to bed.
Oh, yeah. You're like, gotta go, bedtime.
Yep. It made me reimagine my entire life.
As?
Just all the things. Should I become a performance artist? Or should I devote myself wholeheartedly to political action?
Is it either or?
No, yeah.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but I think it's sort of up to
really
the individual.
I think you can't really devote yourself wholeheartedly to two things at once.
I went to a number of shows this week. I tried to get out there because I hadn't gotten
You went
there.
To shit tons.
I went to a handful. I went to, on Tuesday night, I went to Recology. You know how Tuesday nights they have the artist talks? I really wish Recology would have those shows open for slightly longer, like one more weekend. Two Saturdays. Do you know why? As someone who was a resident there, you a little bit on the inside. Do you have an idea about that?
I think it's a lot to have space open to the public for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because all the work that's going on around.
I mean, imagine there's some major safety issues.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it has to be like super supervised. Super supervised. So I wonder if that's part of it. I'm not sure. I wish that too, though, that you got a little more opportunity to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I do Friday and Saturday. But if you're gone for the weekend, you're kind of screwed. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Even if it's just like one, like Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, done.
Yeah.
Just wish there was one more opportunity. Because I feel like what happens is people go to the opening, you forget, and then people tell you how awesome it was. And you're like, oh, shit, I meant to go to that. And then you're like, you have no opportunity. You're like, shh, I can't go anymore.
If you know the artist, sometimes the show actually will be up longer.
Mansoor Narula, who was an amazing textile artist, was there. And then also Genevieve Quick, who we've interviewed here on the show. And they both just had incredible work, very similar to work that they do in their practice. And that was kind of interesting because I feel like oftentimes what happens is you see someone work in a very different way than what they usually do. Like, I was kind of curious to see what Mansoor would do if he would make these textile, I'm kind of calling them paintings. I don't know if he calls them quilts or just textiles, or I don't know what language he uses to describe his work, but I was curious to see what he would do. And he actually ended up using a lot of like plastics and weird things in his quilt paintings, but they're just gorgeous. He's kind of a wild, he's crazy. I mean, just the stitching, there's like thousands of lines of stitching over like a 3x3 or a 3x4 foot kind of piece. Just sort of wild. It's
God
really
bless all
so
the
much insane work
arts people.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
And then Genevieve,
I hand sewed one flag.
Oh right, yeah.
And it
see?
Took me an eternity.
Yeah, and you probably It was probably really hard.
It was hard, so and it hard. Turned out like a damn sack of potatoes.
From where I'm sitting, it actually looks pretty awesome.
Thank you.
I love it. I like the simplicity of it.
The only reason I said any of that was for you to compliment my
plan. I'm sure.
Thank you.
You're not
for
really
that.
One for fishing.
Thank you for that.
Genevieve was working with her sort of alien characters. She has these sort of feminine, maybe not feminine, but like human-like characters that she considers alien. And I think it's, you know, it's super interesting work that she's been doing. But one element of her piece that stood out to me is that she found a Dance Dance Revolution mat. Do you know that game where you like the mat where you step on it? There's all these electronics in it, and it helps sort of like drive the video game.
A mat.
What do you mean? What is confusing?
Well, like DDR had mats with it where you could play DDR at your house.
I don't know.
Because like the arcade games at the
mall or whatever.
At the arcade.
Yeah.
Is like a fucking box thing.
They're like hard material, right? Well, this is a soft.
Well, maybe they do have one you can get for your
house. This is a soft material. And she somehow rejiggered the electronics so that there was like a centerpiece with the mat, and there were three play buttons. But then she also had these little kind of like tiny walkways or like stripes to individual pieces, and you would step on the play button and it would activate the object. So if it was a person, it was like a person talking, and there are these found recordings that she had of
were saying that she had it set up like automatons.
Well, they weren't moving, but yeah. You would step on
the thing and it would activate.
It would start talking at you, and then you could pause it and it would stop talking.
Whoa.
So it was
good job,
was
Genevieve.
Pretty fucking
holy
awesome.
Fuck.
She's,
way to go.
And she's like, she's so self-taught in that realm. Like, she doesn't have an electronics degree, but she's been working with electronics recently with some of her performative projects.
Yeah.
And it's just super rad to see her just fucking going for it. I love it so much. She's like, someone asked her about it, and she's like, well, YouTube. YouTube is how she's learning how to fuck around with electronics, which
she's
is amazing.
Capable.
She's incredibly capable. So those were two shows, and I'm sorry to say they're down, so you can't go see them, listeners, but you should definitely keep your eye out for Mansoor Narula and Genevieve Quick, because they're, if they don't show that specific work, the work that they're working on is
they're always
is
making
engaged and
shit.
Super interesting.
Fuck
and
yeah.
You should just get out to see them.
Oh, I went to the show at Royal Nunsuch Gallery by A.
Remember
Preston
talking about
Mint.
That.
I really especially liked it because it's like bringing in like some BDSM symbolism and imagery and stuff. And
what is some BDSM?
Like a St. Andrew's cross.
Okay,
it's like
maybe.
It's like a big giant X. They're usually made out of wood and then wrapped with leather.
Oh.
And like somebody will get strapped one of those things and get flogged.
Hands and legs or arms.
Yeah, arms and legs. So that's a big part of it. The show's called XO.
XO.
So there's that.
Right,
and there's like a recurring imagery of X's and O's and all this stuff.
Oh,
and there's this enormous wall painting drawing that takes up like two walls of the gallery that's all like hand rubbed and
charcoal or what kind of material?
All kinds, like pastels and dry material.
Pigments or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. And then also a few wall pieces. And like, I just really love what's going on with some of the queer artists taking on some of these like formalist kind of tropes and then making them like putting something in there that's like really explicitly queer and sexy.
Yeah. Cool. I like that.
So I like shit like that. So definitely go check out that show. And then did you hear, Maysoon, that Royal Nunsuch Gallery is going to be closing for a year?
No.
You didn't hear that?
No.
Let's get your raw emotional reaction.
Well, I'm sad to hear that, but I'm also like, for a year, wait a second, that's something I haven't heard before,
where
space closes for a year and then presumably is coming back. Like, that seems like a planned thing.
Yep. Well,
is that because their directors are taking a break, or they're trying to like do some fundraising without also having to work on top of it? What
I
are
think
they
they're taking a break for reasons, life reasons, but then also to kind of reimagine how they're running it. Like, the way I heard from Liz Bernstein, who has been one of the co-directors of the space
since
it
the beginning.
Began,
yeah.
Is that they are just like throwing it all up in the air and figuring out a new way. Like,
cool. That's fucking exciting.
When it comes back, hopefully it'll come back. And when it does, it'll be a whole new thing.
Wow.
Yeah, they have a lot of goals, like wanting to have more money to be able to pay artists and stuff like that. And
so they're going to have like, I wonder if they're, who are the, it's Liz,
right now Bernstein, it's Liz and Bernstein, Annia Bagley, and Amy Nathan.
Okay.
So I think the three of them are running it right now. It's been through a lot of turnover. I think it's hard to be, I mean, fuck, it's hard to be running a space.
Well, none of them are like getting paid for it. They all have to have other jobs that support them and their families.
It's always operated on a shoestring. So.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
And that space is bigger. I did want to give a shout out.
What's going on? Does San Francisco have an election next month?
Yeah. It's when we vote for a mayor.
You're voting for the mayor again.
Who has no opposition. I'm trying not to think.
Are you sure?
Yes, dude.
Pause. Should we do a little mini voter guide?
We can do a mini voter guide. There's no election in Oakland. I'm a little surprised.
I'm pretty sure there's no election in Alameda County. Listeners, if I'm wrong, correct me. If you are in a county that we don't cover, because we only really cover Oakland and San Francisco elections.
Right.
Do you need the Vallejo voter guide?
How about San Jose?
Yeah, we'll expand. San Jose is the 10th biggest city in America.
I mean, it's huge and it's changing a lot.
Okay, but we got to let you know right now, Maysoon. Here's who's running for mayor.
No one.
London Breed, Robert Jordan, Wilma Pang.
Can you give me their like accolades or whoever?
There's not even pictures of most.
There's not even like attorney.
Paul Robertson, Joel Ventresca, and Ellen Lee Zhao.
We don't have to get into it now.
Just letting you know. I'm just telling you, Maysoon, there are a couple other people running besides London Breed. Sure enough, they don't have a chance in hell.
I might look into some just a couple of people for you listeners. Kate went to the Emma Goldman party.
Oh yeah, celebration. Okay. I went to that Emma Goldman party I was telling everybody about last time. And it was wild. It was wild. Okay.
Whoa. Did you dress up? Were people dressed up? Because that was one of the big questions.
No one was dressed like Emma Goldman. However, there was a historian there who is a professor from UC Berkeley who is in charge of the Emma Goldman Papers Project, which is they have her entire personal archive, all her personal letters. And this scholar in particular found some of her letters that were her love letters to this guy who was an OBGYN. I forget the guy's name, who was like pretty much her
lover.
Maybe one of the major loves of her life. And so she wrote him all these letters, and it was kind of at a wild time where she was doing a lot of speaking about like against like the institution of marriage and like for free love. And like she was a feminist and really into like birth control for women and like women having the right to plan when they're going to have children or not.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. But then in some of her letters, I think it's really interesting that she's like, you know, when I go out and I speak, I'm saying all this stuff about free love. But when like in this relationship, I feel kind of like a hypocrite because like I just want to be with this guy, you know, to the guy. And they're very romantic letters. She was an incredible speaker and writer. And it was beautiful. And so this woman, Candace Falk, is the professor.
Yeah.
Has written this book called like Love, Anarchy, and Emma Goldman. And so it's mainly about her love affair with this guy.
Yeah.
Who was a fucking OBGYN in probably like the 1930s, which sounds like
crazy.
Tortured
so
nightmare.
Early.
So anyhow, that was incredible. She spoke for a long time about Emma Goldman and is
like
an incredible just a font
is
of
that
knowledge.
A thing? Yes,
of
it's
knowledge
a thing. Yeah, it's great.
About her. Incredible. Not too long. I could have listened to her for an hour.
Cool.
And had incredible
bring
quotes
her on the show.
Yes. Great. Okay, but thing is, Maysoon, everybody when you think of Emma Goldman, everybody thinks of this quote that she has that said like, if I can't dance, it's not my revolution.
Yeah.
She didn't really say that. It's kind of a shorter paraphrase of this like long quote she had that was so good.
Do you know that quote? I kind of want to hear it.
Okay. And it was in her biography called Living My Life, which everyone should check out and read. It's very conversational.
Okay,
she said, at the dances, I was one of the most untiring and gayest. One evening, a cousin of Sasha, which is what her like term of endearment for this other anarchist who was like also her sometimes lover and like partner in crime, named Alexander Berkman. So anyhow, one evening, a cousin of Sasha, a young boy, took me aside with a grave face as if he were about to announce the death of a dear comrade. He whispered to me that it did not behoove an agitator to dance. Certainly bullshit. Not with such reckless abandon anyway. It was undignified for one who was on the way to become a force in the anarchist movement. My frivolity would only hurt the cause. I grew furious at the impudent interference of the boy. I told him to mind his own business. I was tired of having the cause constantly thrown into my face. I did not believe that a cause which stood for a beautiful ideal, for anarchism, for release and freedom from conventions and prejudice, should demand the denial of life and joy. I insisted that our cause could not expect me to become a nun, and that the movement should be turned into a cloister. If it meant that, I did not want it. I want freedom, the right to self-expression, everybody's right to beautiful, radiant things. Anarchism meant that to me, and I would live it in spite of the whole world, prisons, persecution, everything. Yes, even in spite of the condemnation of my own comrades, I would live my beautiful ideal.
That is awesome.
Right?
God, that is fucking amazing. I love that.
Right, it's so good. Okay, so she was in Candace Falk, the scholar, was incredible. And she has honestly devoted probably the last 40 years of her life pretty much just to this, it seems like.
Cool.
I mean, I'm sure she has
to
other
these letters
interests.
Specifically?
Well, or to Emma Goldman. I mean, she's written all these books about her, like fat fucking tomes.
Yeah.
So anyhow. So she was there. So she spoke. Then she had another archivist who's working with her on this stuff at UC Berkeley, who was like a much younger woman. And she talked about, she was like, I'm an archivist and I'm a homosexual.
Okay.
And she was like, she discovered these letters that the sex worker back in the day wrote to Emma Goldman. And she was queer and in love with Emma Goldman. And these letters were like hidden for years and years. Mm. And she's like doing a project about it. And she was also like, I hope somebody does a project like this, like the, we're doing about Emma Goldman, about women like the, I forget the name of the woman, but this woman who was like in love with Emma Goldman and had a, probably a really storied life. And
yeah.
And she's like, sometimes we have to kill our idols. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Damn.
That's really in the spirit of Emma Goldman,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Also. Okay, then we have fucking Gary the Fairy.
Oh.
Do you know this guy?
No.
Then we have Jerry the Fairy. Gary the Fairy.
Another one of these. Okay.
Barry the Fairy, who runs an anarchist bookstore in San Francisco.
Okay.
Do you know the one?
Not Larry the Fairy.
Larry the Fairy.
On Haight Street. Yeah.
You know that? Yeah.
It's Haight just before Masonic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he got up and just said, hey, I have an anarchist bookstore. Come on out to it. Sat back down. Then another guy who was like a poet or a performer, he told some cool story that related to Emma Goldman and some other shit. Then they have the guy who runs the Harvey Milk Democratic Club come out and talked forever and about like the club. Like, come join our club.
Wow.
And, like, who he's endorsing.
It's like a fucking town hall.
Yeah, and who he's endorsing for, like, different supervisors and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And he's on, like, the bill of, like, who are the speakers for that.
Okay.
Night. And so, like, but I'm like, what the fuck does this have to do with Emma Goldman?
Yeah.
Because she wasn't for any of this shit.
Yeah.
She wasn't for elections and having leaders. Like, that was the whole fucking point of anarchism.
I remember you saying that last
time. So, anyhow. So he went off and he passed around this very interesting pamphlet that they had done like back in the 80s about like getting HIV tested and stuff and talked about Harvey Milk. And he asked everybody in the room, who here has never heard of Harvey Milk?
Did anyone raise their hand?
One lady did.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, okay, one person in the back. And he's like, Harvey Milk was the first out gay supervisor in San Francisco, anywhere, right? Or like,
yeah,
okay,
I think so.
In the world. I don't know. So then the lady is like, oh, Harvey Milk. I know him.
Oh.
She's like, I thought you said Malk.
Come on, lady.
So then he talked forever.
Man,
and I was
Morgan Bassicus should have performed for this crowd. I feel like it would have gone over really
well. It would have been right in the wheelhouse. I don't know. It was
people
wild. Somebody had their
from
dog.
Everywhere.
The dog started reverse sneezing. Anyhow, point is, then... that guy goes on forever. I'm like, what's happening? And I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
You're like,
and,
what's going on?
And then they have a burlesque performer named Redbone come up. And I think it was like not well set up for her to be doing like a strip tease, basically. And that made sense with me for Emma Goldman.
Okay.
With the whole dancing thing and like the freedom and like sexual freedom.
Do what you want.
And like, yeah. And that was like also like celebratory and
yeah.
Anyhow, so I felt like it was not set up well for her to have a good time where people are going to so be like weird. Hooting and hollering and engaged because yeah. they just heard all this kind of like educational material. And so she gets up and she explains what burlesque is.
Oh my God.
Like as if it's like, oh, we're all doing our TED Talks. But she was great. And, like, prepared the crowd, I think, and then did her thing. And, like, again, the fucking audience is, like, don't know how to, like, loosen up.
Oh, the audience was uptight
here,
too.
Well, also, we're in, like, a cafe. It's not like everyone's drinking a beer. People are, like, eating black bean soup. And so she does it. Me and Katie are really trying to be, like, woo!
Yeah,
woo!
You guys are really the hooters.
Yeah. Hooters!
Hooter and hollerers, is what
and,
I mean.
You know, and, like, anyway...
Sounds like it was a wild time.
It was. And then Candace Falk had a necklace that belonged to Emma Goldman.
What?
And she's like, if anybody wants to come and wear this or do whatever.
Did you wear it?
I touched it. And it was like a heavy ass metal, like
chain,
like intense,
thing?
Like a ton of chain oh. interwoven kind of thing. It was like a heavy. And I'm like, God, she was such a badass. So overall... 10 out of 10. Loved it. I would have edited out a little bit of the Harvey Milk Democratic Club guy, but God bless. And I think he's best friend with the guy who owns the cafe, the Mercury Cafe.
Oh, so who got an in?
Which I think is like, that's Hayes Valley, right? Do you know that place?
I don't know that place.
It's on Octavia Street.
Oh, it's got to be.
It is Hayes Valley, I think.
Wow.
But it's like the guy who runs Octavia. It has been in San Francisco for a long time. And then the guy who owns the cafe at the very end of the night gets up and he's like, you know, someone's like, how can we support the cafe? And he's like, well, buy some stuff and like, you know, come whatever. Back. And he's like, please do come back because all these places are closing. He's like, this restaurant up the street has closed and like this cafe has closed and like yeah. independently run cafes are not, you know, like yeah, that no. have been there a long time are not doing well. And he's like talking about how they are going to put restaurant workers and dorms and all this shit, and it's like, yeah, I mean, this that's really important, like people should know that, but everybody that's coming out to an Emma Goldman party in San Francisco on a Friday night fucking knows about wealth disparity.
Yes,
in San Francisco
for fucking sure.
It's like, dude, you're definitely preaching to the choir here.
Yeah,
and I need to get out of here,
like right now.
No, I mean oh. from like, the cafe. Okay. I was like, dude, we know, we get it.
You're like, thank you,
we're the ones here, we're the ones supporting the fucking cafe. Yeah.
Well, he has to say it anyhow, though, you know? I think so. It's probably, like, pretty sharp on his mind.
So go to the Mercury Cafe.
All right. Sounds good. I'll go check it out. Other shows I saw this week at Et al. Chinatown, there is a video piece by Matt Baruso.
Oh, wicked.
And it's 42 minutes long. It's called, We Live or something. I have it right here. It's called You Live, which sounds kind of like a horror movie to me. I'm not sure if it is. Anyhow, so it was a video, which I think is a new direction for him, but everyone who is familiar with the work is like, it totally makes sense. So there were photos of different, like, sunsets, skulls, interiors, like, just different photos that were, like, fading into other photos, like, one at a time.
That's what the video was?
The whole video were just still photos fading into each other, like, one at a time.
Okay.
Basically, with this very eerie sound, like, kind of horror-y / sci-fi-y kind of eerie soundtrack, the whole got droning the whole time. So sort of a wild piece. Interesting, definitely very interesting. I liked seeing it in that place, or in that particular space. I've never seen anything quite like that in there, where they created a little kind of perfect video screening room. That is open until October 19th, so you still have a couple weeks to go see that if you want to, Kate.
Did you see the Vincent Vecto show over at the Wattis?
I did also go see that. There's also, I want to give a little shout out to a new gallery that opened. Mickey Ming. She just recently opened Friends Indeed Gallery in the old Capitol space, also like near Et al. Chinatown,
oh,
right around the corner.
Okay, awesome.
And that's a sweet little spot. They just opened a show with, I forgot the name of the show, I'm sorry. But it's Mickey, Eric Lee, and Nazli Erican. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but three folks got together to open a little space. So that was cool. They had their inaugural show open on Saturday.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Our dear shout out to Sarah Hotchkiss, who just had an opening also at
Guerrero Gallery,
which I haven't seen yet, but
let's go together.
Let's go see it. Psych 2. Love her. And then I wanted to also shout out to, I'd like to encourage everyone to go see Jennifer Wofford's show at Black and White Projects. It's called Club Rupture, and it's all about the 89 earthquake.
And I believe she will be there
on Saturdays, yes, from 12 to 5. And also one more quick shout out to our dear friend Sophia Cordova and Matthew Gonzalez Kirkland. Yeah. And their little tiny baby Silvio.
Congratulations. Congratulations. I feel like 400 people just had a baby that we know.
There are 400
it's
new
just babies.
Babies,
babies, babies.
2019 was the year of the baby.
The baby. And what is it in the Chinese zodiac? The rat?
I have no idea.
No, it's the one before the rat.
2019.
And 2019 is the year of the pig.
Cute little pigs.
Fertile pigs.
So many
are.
Sweet little baby
pigs. I heard
pigs,
pigs
out
have
there.
Orgasms that last like 20 minutes.
Jesus Christ, we're talking about babies here. Can you please PG?
That's where babies come from.
Can you PG it up
That's
over
where
here?
Babies
they don't come from orgasms. They just come from
babies
intercourse.
Babies don't listen to podcasts.
Babies.
You can't, if no one's having an orgasm, then no one's
if
having a
having
baby.
If you're having an orgasm listening to our podcast, I need to know more. That's fucking weird. It's not weird. To each his own. To each their own. Get to it.
I hope they're having one from the bridge.
All the way across the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.
Oh, our grandmothers will eat you alive. Oh, our grandmothers will eat you alive. And we'll be glad. So very. Oh, our grandmothers will and there are